This week, we continue our sermon series on the ruthless elimination of hurry. So far, we've learned about the easy yoke that Jesus offers compared to the heavy yoke of the world. We've talked about silence and solitude, and about Sabbath rest, and how these cadences, these holy habits, help us to slow down, draw near to the Lord, and live at the pace of grace. It's been a good series so far. But today's topic, it's going to get a little bit more personal. Personal. Wow, words are hard. That's okay. But it's going to be a little bit more uncomfortable. Because today we're going to be talking about something that Jesus actually talks about a lot. Money. More specifically, we're going to talk about consumerism and the practice that helps us fight it, which is simplicity. Let's begin then with these words of Jesus, words that might sting a little bit. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Next one. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And the third one. This one's my favorite. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, these are not just suggestions. They're not even commands. Jesus isn't offering life tips here. He is describing reality. They are not conditional statements. They're declarations of truth. As uncomfortable as it might be, Jesus' words today, they are not meant to just accuse. They're also meant to free us, to open our eyes to the life that he made us for. So today we're going to walk through our gospel reading, Matthew chapter 6, and explore what Jesus says about money, possessions, and where our hearts truly belong. We'll see the danger of serving mammon and the beauty of serving God through a simple life. So I encourage you, if you haven't done so already, get out your sermon notes, your scorecards. You know, it's helpful to have stuff to write on instead of listening to me ramble, but it should be fun. So today, we're going to be taking a look at mammon. Now, the text says no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Another way you can translate that word money is mammon. It's an old English word, but instead of just money, this word can be considered possessions, wealth, land, but really it is the spiritual power behind our obsession with wealth and stuff. Mammon, it promises comfort, it promises status, security, and identity, but it demands your soul in return. Now, you and I, we live in a culture that's driven by mammon, driven by consumerism. We are trained to believe that we need more to be happy. A new phone, a bigger house, a fancier wardrobe, and it's all just a click away. And our world today is designed to heighten this. Now, don't get me wrong, please. I love my country, and I am incredibly thankful for the opportunities that I've been afforded by living just here. But I will say it is not perfect, and this is a fair critique of the culture that we live in. In fact, a French sociologist whose name is Jean, I'm going to make this pronunciation bad, but it's Balindran, something like that. But he has made the case that in the Western world, materialism is the new state of meaning. So let's put this a different way. Atheism hasn't replaced cultural Christianity. Instead, shopping has. Now, what does this look like? It means that we get our meaning from what we consume. The clothes that we wear, the brand of phone that we buy, the car that we drive. I love my Toyota Tacoma, in case you guys are curious. But the neighborhoods that we live in, these all shape how we see ourselves and how others see us. Did you guys know that shopping is the number one leisure activity in America today, usurping the place that was previously held by religion? So, to put it a different way, we're not competing with other churches here. We're competing with Amazon.com. It's the new temple. The visa statement is the new altar, and influencers are the priests and the priestesses that tell us how to spend our money serving the God of mammon. But our Lord Jesus Christ says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And why not? Because we know, he knows what we all do too. It's that our earthly treasures, they're temporary. They break, they wear out, they rust, they get stolen, they end up fading away. But beyond that, when we center our lives on mammon, on stuff, we become anxious, we become hurried, and we become busy. Because getting stuff is never just the quick transaction of swiping the credit card or paying the cash or whatever it might be. It takes extra hours to earn the stuff, extra time to enjoy the stuff, and extra space to store the stuff. Did you guys know that there is more storage units in this country than there are people? So we could all live in our own little storage unit or something like that. But you get my point. As author Alan Faulding insightfully put, the drive to possess is an engine for hurry. And as desire, as it makes us hurry more and more and more, our souls, they end up shrinking and become less and less and less. Consumerism, or greed, as it's often called in the Bible, has also another name. It is also called an evil eye. The text says it as follows, a little bit different translation, but you get the idea. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is bad, an evil eye, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now you might be thinking, what on earth does optometry have to do with money? Well, it's expensive. No, that's not it. So, in Jewish thought, a bad eye, it was a metaphor for greed, it was a metaphor for envy, and for stinginess. When you look out on the world, you were distracted by all that glitters and lost focus on what truly matters. A good eye, by contrast, was generous. It was content and always open-handed. In other words, how you and I, how we see the world, how we value people and possessions, reveals the condition of our hearts. Do we see people as souls to serve, or as commodities to use, or to compare our lives against? That's the problem with mammon, and why it makes for a pretty lousy God. Well, devotion to money, it chokes out our love and our desire to love anything else. It's simple math. The more we love stuff, the less we love God and the less we love our neighbor. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's difficult to serve God and mammon. Not try your best to serve God and mammon. Jesus says, no, you can't. Why? Because as it said before, devotion to money chokes out our capacity for love. As we hoard, as we hustle, as we chase after more and more and more, we have less and less space to care, to give, and to see other people around us. The faster we run after mammon, the more hurried and hollow we end up becoming. Let me put it to you a different way. Maybe over the past couple of weeks, you've been hearing about these practices of silence and solitude, or to take a day off, practice a Sabbath, but you just can't seem to slow down. Well, it might be that you're carrying too much. It's like your soul is a small pickup truck and you're attached to a semi-trailer. And every time you try to slow down, the weight of everything keeps bearing down on your back. Now, my soul might be the size of a Mini Cooper, but you get the idea. But the God of mammon, it leaves us with overburdened souls that can't carry the weight of our lives. But Jesus offers another way, a life of simplicity, a life of peace, a life rooted in our Father's care. Now, let's make this clear. To live simply is not to live poorly or frugally. In fact, many people throughout the history of the Bible were really quite wealthy. But it is to live freely, to live with margin, in life, margin of time, margin of resources, but with also clarity and purpose. Christian simplicity, it means owning what you need, not what you think you need just to impress other people or yourself. It means stewarding resources rather than chasing after them. It means creating space, space in your budget, in your schedule, in your home, and in your soul. But it doesn't start with your budget, of course. It starts with your heart, as Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, what does this look like? Well, this is why I have a whiteboard up here for today. Now, I'm going to draw for you guys a wheel. That's a very odd-shaped wheel, I'll admit. So, but the most important part of a wheel is the center hub. It's where all the weight is carried, and then you have the spokes that go out along the sides. Put it as a metaphor for life. What you put in the center of your life is the most important thing and bears all the weight of your life. There are many people in our society today that have mammon as the hub of their life. All the spokes of their lives grow out of this god of mammon. Their family life is governed by it. The church they attend will help them get an advantage in the marketplace. But this god, this hub, it can't take the weight of your life. Once there's a turn in the market, their lives end up crumbling. Now, we're focusing on mammon today, but some folks, they put passion as their center hub, getting caught up in the strongest feelings. The hub in the center then turns into a burning fire that everything else in their life is sacrificed to, from their families to their homes to communities to their businesses. Everything revolves around feeding that fire. But then they discover that the fire can never be satisfied, and it has a destroying way of life. Put another way, I know some people whose hub is power. They live to get power, and all of life, every spoke is directed towards that. Then they lose the election, they don't get that promotion that they were craving, and their life ends up crumbling, buckling under the weight of their own ambition. If you don't take anything else from today, take this away. Only God can take the weight of your life. You and I, we have a God-sized hole in our hearts. Only He can fill it with the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. It's the peace that we all miss. That's why you're here today, I imagine. But keep Him in the center. And everything else, every other spoke of life, I encourage you, will find its place. And living this simplistic life with it centered on God, it naturally leads to generosity. When your life isn't cluttered with stuff, you find you're free to give it away. And it's not just money. It's also your time, your attention, your hospitality, and your care. It enables you to see other people you'd otherwise miss. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when we give, we reflect the heart of our generous God who gave His own Son for us. John 3, 16, what does it say? "For God so loved the world that He gave." The most common Bible verse is about generosity. The generosity of our Lord, that He didn't hold anything back for our salvation. He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's all about how generous our God is. Now, keep in mind, also remember, true generosity, it's not forced. It flows from a life grounded in God's abundant grace. And now, while you might feel overwhelmed by the world's needs, you don't have to save everyone. None of you are Jesus. Your job isn't to save the world. But let's go back to the wheel for a second. If God is at the center, I encourage you, who are on the spokes of your life? Who are key people in your life that give you meaning? those who are closest to you. Think about your spouse, your kids, your parents, your neighbors, your coworkers. Now, don't beat yourself up with this question too much, but ask yourself and dig deep. If you were to ask them, would they call you a generous person? Now, if you're thinking, where can I get energy to be more generous? You find it when you serve God and not mammon. When you serve God, you are not left empty. You are filled. Your devotion to God connects you to the source of all love unending. Only God can satisfy the deep desires of the human heart. Not the next gadget, not the dream house, not a Toyota Tacoma, not even a fully funded retirement. Only the love of Christ. Here's the gospel truth. Jesus himself, he lived simply. The King of the universe had no place to lay his head. He owned no home. He had no closet full of clothes. He died with nothing so that you and I can have everything. The Lord of all creation was a homeless, itinerant preacher in the first century. He gave his whole riches away, not just to teach you about simplicity, but to save you. So what do we do with all this? Well, this week, let me encourage you. I want you to take a small step toward simplicity. Maybe it's clearing out a closet full of clothes that you just don't seem to use and donating them to someone in need. Maybe it's resisting the impulse to buy something you don't need. Maybe it's setting a budget not just to save but to give. Maybe it's taking time for someone on one of your spokes that you know needs a little bit of generosity. But most importantly, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Fix your eyes not on treasures that fade, but on the one who never does. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't need more stuff to have more life. You already have life in Christ, abundant, free, and eternal. Amen.